The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
I've got a special message for fathers today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
We've got a lot of ground to cover today, and the phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH. This is Michael Brown. For those watching on YouTube or Facebook saying, Dr. Brown, why are you in a jacket and tie? I'll explain. I had it on earlier today, and I said to my team, why don't we keep it on? So here we are, jacket and tie, but same voice as always. You can call, talk to me about any subject under the sun, 866-348-7884. But we've got a lot of ground to cover. I want to talk to you about Father's Day and about being physical fathers and natural fathers, the importance of that. Also, some jarring stats I want to share with you, too. I want to talk about an outrageous case taking place in Canada that you would want to know about. Give you an update about what happened over the weekend with Los Angeles Dodgers and the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, and maybe one or two other things. But first, it is June 19th, which is Juneteenth. Juneteenth, an abbreviation for June 19th. What's interesting is I can honestly say that I don't remember hearing about Juneteenth growing up. Don't remember hearing about it. And certainly in school, we're not hearing about it because we're out of school. It's summer. I did a poll on Twitter. I just started it. I should have started it earlier. But just curious about this, I posted on Twitter. It's within the last half hour. We've got our first 165 votes. Do you know the significance and meaning of Juneteenth? Now, some of you are shaking your heads like, what do you mean? Who doesn't know? And others are shaking their heads like, yeah, what is that? So I gave three choices, of course, nope, and not 100% sure. So, of course, that's 46% folks said, of course, they know the significance and meaning of Juneteenth. 29%, so almost 3 in 10, said no. And almost 25% said not sure. So over half either said no or not sure. So again, some of you are shaking your heads thinking, how could that be? It is recognized as the longest running holiday celebrated by African Americans in America. And whether it's a day of work or not, but celebrated as a holiday, it commemorates the effective ending of slavery in 1865, federal troops arriving in Galveston, Texas to enforce the freedom of the slaves, Emancipation Proclamation, but 2.5 years prior to that. What's interesting, though, is for whatever reason, I've certainly been on the air many times on June 19th. I don't know that I've ever talked about it on the air, so forgive me for that oversight. You say, well, you're trying to be woke. Well, what's woke about recognizing the day that's remembered as the day of the freeing of slaves in America? Isn't that of cultural significance? Isn't that something that we should all look back to with shame of what happened before that, but glad that our legacy is different and that the gospel in our country did bring about positive change, that a true Christian spirit prevailed against a wrong Christian spirit that had supported slavery? So for those celebrating Juneteenth, we all celebrate freedom. And may there continue to be true freedom for every American, ultimately the freedom that is found in Jesus. I'll tell you why the jacket and tie a little bit later in the broadcast. I do want you to know that we've got some really encouraging broadcasts for you. And I believe Wednesday, I'm going to really dig into some of my stories to how God helped me to lose almost 100 pounds and keep it off starting 9 years ago, and encourage you about some health changes you could make in your own life. I hope I can really encourage you because I have no condemnation, no judgment. I loved the Lord when I was overweight. I loved the Lord when I was addicted to chocolate. I was used by God all this time, and yet there were strongholds in my life. So I've got some encouragement for you, some really good teaching days we will have as well. So be sure not to miss a single broadcast. Okay. Fathers. We just celebrated Father's Day. I had a delightful time with my family, of course, hearing from our older daughter, Jen, in Maryland, but with our younger daughter, Meg, living right nearby. So she said, hey, why don't we, rather than just come over to the house and just sit around, why don't we go out? And she loves to hike. So we drove about 2 hours. So it was Nancy, me, and then Meg, her husband, Ryan, and our grandson, Andrew, who's in town during the summer, otherwise away at college, our other granddaughter in Virginia, couldn't be here. So anyway, we went hiking. First time I've done this with the family. Meg loves to hike. So we drove a couple hours, had fun along the way. And then it was a good lengthy hike. But of course, Andrew, he's an athlete. He's playing baseball in college. So he's leading the way and kind of running ahead. Andrew, Ryan, my son-in-law, almost 50. So he's still in pretty good shape, though. So he had to stay, go right hand in hand with Andrew. So, of course, that had to challenge me to keep up with everybody. So we had fun, the three generations, the guys pushing it, and the ladies doing great as well. And I posted a picture on Facebook and Instagram of the three generations. So grandfather, son-in-law, grandson. And just sitting together, enjoying God, loving one another. And one brother posted on Facebook, I saw his response. He said, you don't know how blessed you are. I'm never going to see my father again. Obviously, meaning his father died without the Lord. He doesn't believe he'll ever see him again. And none of his sons are in the Lord. So, of course, I offered up a prayer right there for the salvation of his sons. I do not want to put any guilt on fathers. Maybe you went through a painful divorce and you wish you could be there with your kids more and you can't right now. Maybe you grew up without a good father in the home and you struggled. My goal is to inspire, to encourage, not lay a weight, not discourage, not say, what are you doing? You got to do better. I just want to reinforce in our upside down society, in the crazy world in which we live today, where, what is a father? What is a mother? What is a woman? What is a man? Men can have babies. Men can menstruate, and all crazy stuff. I want to get back to the basics. I had Nancy Piercy on with me this past week, author and scholar, and we were talking about when masculinity became toxic. And she was pointing to studies, many studies in America, but even some around the world, that evangelical fathers were the best, meaning those that took the biblical mandate seriously, that they were more devoted to their wives, more devoted to their children, and that this was the best thing for women. If you want an effective women's movement, it would be to see more men being true followers of Jesus. Of course, there were true followers of Jesus who were not evangelical, but this is what the surveys had pointed to. Maybe you've heard stats like this. But I've written about this, I've researched this, I've looked at the accuracy of these stats. So I'm just going to throw things out. You'd search in a split second on the internet and come up with many websites pointing in this direction. And then I want to give you some positive encouragement. But first, some serious stats here. Fatherlessness has a significant impact on children's lives, and the statistics are alarming. Here are some of the effects of fatherlessness. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 63%. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. Whoa. You want to hear that stat again? 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. Now, please understand, if you are a single mom raising a child, if your husband has passed away, if your husband abandoned the family, if there's divorce that brought about the separation, there is hope. There are plenty of godly kids raised by single parents. There are plenty of godly kids raised by single moms. There are plenty of kids who grew up doing great. It's just there are more obstacles to overcome. There are more challenges that you as a single parent, you have to deal with. And hopefully that's where there's a community that comes around and there are other men who can be models and examples for your kids, especially for your sons. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. 85%. The father plays an incredibly important role. The father plays an incredibly significant stabilizing role. If you'll just research this for yourself, look at mass shootings in America. Type in mass shootings in America, do a search for it, and fatherlessness. You will see that the vast majority of mass shooters, say in the last 20 years, last 10 years, you will see that the vast majority, strikingly high numbers, come from fatherless homes. Many of them are also emotionally unstable. But is there a direct connection between those three things? Being a mass murderer, being emotionally unstable, maybe on medication as well, and being from a fatherless home? Absolutely. Absolutely. Households without fathers are four times more likely to live below the poverty line. Children in father-absent homes are almost four times more likely to be poor. Parallel figure there. Fatherless children are at a dramatically greater risk of drug and alcohol abuse. Children in father-absent homes are more likely to have physical and emotional health problems, lower educational achievement, and engage in criminal and sexual activities. Obviously, if we had stats on motherless homes, which would be much less common because mothers are often raising children alone as opposed to fathers doing it, you'd see negative effects of motherless homes. But the epidemic in the country is fatherlessness and absentee fathers and fathers who are not there for one or a number of reasons, even when they're in the home, even when they live in the home, are not there. So I was talking to my son-in-law, Ryan, to our grandson, Andrew, and Ryan was just telling Andrew how wonderful it is that there's no major need in terms of an example or something in his life, in terms of the male presence, that he hasn't gotten from his father, obviously primarily his father, or in a supplemental way from me as a grandfather. And, you know, in terms of major things and critically important fundamental needs. And we're talking about Ryan's role as a dad, and he and Andrew are super close. He and Ellie are super close, our granddaughter. And talking about that, and the key thing that I brought up was Ryan not just being available, but being present, being present. Our son-in-law Jimmy in Maryland is a wonderful father. He has spent endless hours with our grandson Connor hunting together and doing stuff at the firehouse together. They're both firemen. And granddaughter Riley, she posted a special tribute to her dad. And all the time, all the stuff they have done together. So a lot of us don't have the greatest fathering parent skills, but the thing is, we are present, we are there, we are involved, and that's what makes a massive, massive difference. We come back, I want to tell you an edifying story, encourage you to be natural fathers and spiritual fathers. Then I got some really interesting news to report to you, and we'll take your calls too, so you can weigh in completely off topic. Ask me any question, 866-348-7884. And I'll tell you about the jacket and tie, too. You can't resist us. Hey, friends. Michael Brown here. Many of you know about the radical health transformation in my own life starting August of 2014, went from 275 pounds to 180 pounds, less than 8 months, not by dieting, but by radical lifestyle transformation, getting rid of the bad, unhealthy things, eating only healthy foods. I've kept it up by God's grace now for 9 years, going from 3 headaches a week to no headaches in 9 years. Blood pressure as high as 149 over 103, now maybe 105 over 70 on average. I mean, radical transformation. And I encourage you to look at your life, look at your diet, ask, are you going in the right direction or do you need to make some changes? I also want to help you with on a very practical level. I have added into my life as well some great supplements from our co-sponsor, Trivita. In fact, that's why we work with them, because I have personally benefited from these as well. I want to commend to you three in particular. Nitric oxide, which helps with blood flow, oxygen, energy level. MyoHealth, which helps with skeletal structure, muscle, which is really important as you get older, and NoPelea, which deals with chronic inflammation. In fact, I've learned that that's the number one killer worldwide, chronic inflammation. I take these three supplements every single day. As I travel around the world, I travel with these, and I want to encourage you strongly, check them out for yourselves. 800-771-5584. Get your free online health consultation, 800-771-5584, or go to trivita.com. Use the code BROWN25. You will get a 25% discount on your entire order, whatever size it is, and 100% of your first order will go to support the Line of Fire, and more than a tithe of all subsequent orders. I use these. I commend them to you. 800-771-5584.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So, later this week, I'm scheduled to be in Germany, then one day in Latvia, so a quick overseas trip. Won't miss a day of broadcasting, so don't miss a day yourself. You will be specially blessed, in fact. But yeah, I will be taking these three Trivita products with me, absolutely, traveling with them joyfully. And I mean, I love healthy eating, healthy living. 68 years old and running, you know, up the hill with the boys and stuff, and just, you know, hiking and being full of energy and life. It's that's obviously due to healthy eating. These supplements are really great, really excellent. So wherever you are, you add these into your life and they'll help push you in the right direction. So 800-771-5584. Tell them Dr. Brown sent you, or online, Trivita.com, but be sure to use the code BROWN25. Not only does it give you the discount, but it makes sure that your order, a large portion of your order will be donated to help us reach more people and touch more great cities all around America. Okay, I remember reading a book as a new father by Gordon MacDonald called The Effective Father. And I remember one chapter that stood out to me in particular called No Day Is Ever Wasted. And it's a particular relevance to me because my challenge over the years has been that very challenge about being present, being focused. As our daughters got older, now they were teenagers, they picked up on that, or picked up on Nancy pointing that out to me. So I'd come back from an overseas trip, and my mind is racing. I mean, I'm doing a million things. Yesterday, we were walking across a field or something, and somebody in the family said, "Hey, you know, Grandpa, what do you think?" I said, "Yeah, I zoned out. I'm writing a book, actually. We were just taking a walk, and it was kind of the end of the day, casual, but instead of just enjoying the view at that moment, I was in my head working on my next book." So I remember sitting at dinner one night, and our older daughter Jen saying to me, "Dad, you're here, but you're not here." And that was my challenge. They were fine when I was away traveling. It was when I was home that I'd be focused. To this moment, Nancy's not just fine with me traveling. She loves when I travel. She fully enjoys her time alone, absolutely enjoys her time alone. But when I'm home, I've got to be present. And I can be in the room and not present. Any of you relate to that? So this Gordon MacDonald story really ministered to me. There was someone well-known in American history from, I think, the 1800s, and he would frequently reference a day that he spent with his father. They went fishing together, and how it changed his life, just spending that day with his dad, and how meaningful it was to him. So after he passed away, his biographers found the journal of his father, and found the journal entry for that particular day, and it said, "Went fishing with my son, a day wasted." Oh, how devastating. It was life-changing for the boy, but the father didn't realize the significance of it. Think of recognizing the significance of times that we have and the example that we set, be it over dinner, be it wrestling on the floor with the kids, be it on a drive together, be it just in the way that we interact with our spouses. or those around us. We are being watched. Our example is making a difference. And we may have weaknesses and inabilities. And, you know, you see some moms, some dads, you think, they're like super. How can they do what they do and know what to say? And we may think, I fall short there. But if you're present, if you're involved, if you care, if you take a genuine interest, and then if you really pray for yourself as a mom, a dad, and then pray for your kids, it'll make a massive difference. And here's what's interesting, friends. So, of course, went out with one daughter yesterday for Father's Day, and then get a nice note from our older daughter 6 hours away, Father's Day, so from our two kids. But I got a good number of notes from grads of our ministry school that are now serving around the world and burning bright and doing incredible things for the Lord. And they said, hey, Dr. Brown, thanks for being a spiritual father to many. I got notes from leading pastors whom I've played a mentoring role in their lives, very gracious, saying thanks for being a father in my life. Thanks for teaching me to love God and love people and hate sin. That was very meaningful. And I can tell you, friends, that every time I'm out with leaders, right, I'm going out speaking. Maybe I'm tired. Maybe I've been ministering, but we're having a meal together. That meal is important because I'm thinking, I want to pour into this person. I want to make an impact. I want to be here to answer their questions. I want to be focused so that they can receive something lasting, because for many of them, it's a matter of importance. You know, they honor me and esteem me in the Lord. And the fact I'm out with them, this is the time we get, right? I may have a writing deadline. I want to get back to my hotel. I may be worn out from travel and speaking, but this is our time together. And when I was leading Brownsboro Revival School of Ministry in Pensacola, God did something. He changed my heart. I've been a spiritual father in the sense of maybe you were in our ministry school and you were one of the rare ones that got close to me over the years, you know, decades back. Talking about it in the 80s, and you know, drive me. I'm speaking a few hours away. Hey, Dr. Brown, can I drive you? And we get to spend time together. But otherwise, I kind of just ran on my own. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like I was looking to just, you know, there's some people just always open door policy and there are always people flooding their home back and forth. That's not so much the way I thought. When I was leading the school in Pensacola, God changed my heart and the well-being of the students became a consuming concern of my life. And I remember being with an old friend in Israel. We were together in Maryland before that. And he's one of the most pastoral guys I know. Just saw him for the first time in years last week. And he's as sweet and gracious and loving as ever. And he told me that I often brought him to tears back then because I was just not pastoral. And I'm like, why are you wasting? You're spending all these hours with this couple. They disagree with us. They're going to be out sooner or later. Just love them, bless them, and say, hey, go somewhere else. But you're spending all these wasted hours. And, you know, and he was so patient, compassionate. And so we're in Israel together. And he says to me, Mike, so what's the, you know, what's the great burden of your heart these days? And I say the word student, the students, and I break down crying. And I remember him looking at me puzzled, like what alien entity took over my friend Mike? What? Because that's not who I was. God gave me this tremendous, overwhelming burden for the well-being of the students. And I didn't go around announcing it or saying it. But amazingly, they began to shoot me these notes, dear dad, or I feel like, you become a spiritual dad to me, not in some cult-like way, call me father or something like that. No, but in a healthy way where you know, Paul talked about being a spiritual father, right? Maybe it's someone you led to the Lord and then helped disciple. You've been a spiritual mother, a spiritual father to that person. The point I'm making is now we're talking 20, 25 years later, in some cases longer than that, the relationships are strong. The relationships are solid. There's a deep sense of loyalty. There's a deep sense of camaraderie. There's a deep fatherly pride I have in them, and there's a sense where they're honoring me as they go and do what they do. It's something very real that God does. And while the birth rate in America among Christian believers is higher than the birth rate of the society as a whole, and substantially higher, by the way, than that of atheists and agnostics. Our retention rate is not that good, meaning that we may have more children, but then a significant number of them fall away from the faith. And because of that, there's a negative. Instead of a gain, there's a loss. So that means, yes, welcome kids into this world, celebrate children, celebrate babies, but dads, be there. Work is important, other things are important, but your investment in your spouse and your investment in your kids is number one. So be a man of God, don't be a wimp, and be there for your spouse, and be there for your kids, and serve your family. And the reward that you will get is greater than any financial award or reward that this world can offer. Let's be the men that God called us to be. The world needs us. Your kids need us. Your spouses need us. And as ministry leaders, your people need you. Let's do it. Let's do it. You can't resist us! Hey friends, this is Dr. Michael Brown. I want to invite you to join our support team. Make an investment of $1 a day that will absolutely last forever. You know, the Lord has given us a holy mandate to blanket America with the Line of Fire broadcast. And on a regular basis, we hear from folks writing in, Dr. Brown, I used to be a practicing homosexual. I listened to you. I heard grace and truth together. I was changed. We hear from pastors who say, thank you for speaking with compassion, but giving us backbone and courage. And we know across America, so many believers are getting healthy and strong through listening to the broadcast, through listening to these messages as we tackle the controversies, the most difficult issues of the day. We even hear from former Muslims who've come to faith, from Jewish people who now believe in Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, through this broadcast and our resources. So join our support team. $1 or more per day makes you an official torchbearer. Immediately, you will get access to hundreds of hours of terrific online classes and exclusive video content. Every single month, we'll send you a brand new audio message and along with it, an insider prayer newsletter where we'll talk about the things that are going to be coming in our ministry and share some of the amazing testimonies of the fruit that you are a part of. And when you do sign up, I want to give you two books as a special gift. First, Compassionate Father, A Consuming Fire. Who is the God of the Old Testament? I take the best of my Hebrew and Old Testament scholarship, wrap it together in this book that you'll find eye-opening, answering many of the questions you have. And then Revolution, my classic book that tells you how to wage war with Jesus by overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love. We are transformed. We can bring transformation to the nation. So call this number now, 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Say, I'd like to become a torchbearer, or go to askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate Monthly Support.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us on the Line of Fire. All right, so why do I have this jacket and tie on? 866-34-TRUTH. No, not to call in and guess. 866-348-7884 is the number to call with any question of any kind on any subject or anything you want to talk to me about or differ with me on. Give me a piece of your mind as to why I'm so wrong and deceived. Love to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, so I was asked today to join Bill O'Reilly on his show. So he's got an internet show, of course, used to be massive, maybe the number one guy on Fox News, and now has had an independent show for years now. Was asked to come on and talk with him about what happened with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, and the event took place Saturday night at Dodger Stadium. I'll tell you about that in a moment. So we just asked the producer what's the normal dress code. And they said, well, jacket and tie is normal, so here we are. Of course, I got jeans and sneakers on along with that, but that's the reason for the jacket and tie. So let me just talk to you about that for a moment. I'd written an article about why the celebration of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence was a step too far for many Americans. Many Americans who just didn't make a big fuss about, quote, Pride Month and just went along with things and, hey, we want to be tolerant. It's like this is an anti-Christian hate group, as Bill O'Reilly rightly said during our interview. And I likened it. Think of this. So these are men, gay men, who dress up as nuns. And, yeah, they do community good. A lot of people do good. You know, Hamas, the Middle East terrorist group, does a lot of good. They are very popular among the Palestinian people because of the good they do. Hospitals, humanitarian work. And they do that because as Muslims and as fellow Palestinians, they care about their people. That's part of it. And they have the military wing, which fights the military battles. And therefore, Hamas overall is very popular. But they do humanitarian good as well. And it's not just as a political ploy. It's because they care about their own people, right? Why not? So it's no surprise that these, quote, sisters do some community good as well. Why would that be a big surprise? But their mockery of the Lord, their mockery of Christian things, especially Catholic things, is utterly reprehensible. So, okay, why bring attention to it? Because the Los Angeles Dodgers did, because the whole nation is now talking about it. And what happened was the Dodgers said on Pride night, this was going to be then June 17th, Saturday night, they were going to specially honor the sisters. Yeah, so different groups found out about this, Catholic groups in particular, and protested. And the Dodgers did the right thing. They pulled back and said, okay, we're not going to do it. Well, then there was an uproar from gay activists and others. Oh, I thought the drag queens were a little extreme. I thought the drag queens, that was different. I thought these Catholic mocking, Christian mocking people were different. I thought that was different than like love is love and you can marry the one you love and love wins. I thought this was different. Nah, it's all part of the same radical leftist agenda. As I've written, you can't celebrate the Q. You can't separate the Q and the T from the LGB. Anyway, the Dodgers then capitulate and say, okay, we're going to especially honor the sisters, and they send them a public apology. So this creates even more outrage. And here's what happens. I tweeted this out, and those that are watching can see this, but here's an NBC News headline. I've got a screenshot of it, okay? NBC News, dozens protest LA Dodgers for honoring drag group at Pride Night. Notice that caption. Dozens protest LA Dodgers for honoring drag group at Pride Night. Beneath that, I have another tweet showing the crowd of several thousand people. I don't know how many thousands, but clearly thousands of people outside the stadium protesting, largely Catholic, but other Christian in general, joining them. So how is it reported here on NBC News? Dozens protest LA Dodgers for honoring drag group at Pride Night. Otherwise, mainstream media didn't even cover this as a major issue. And what do the Dodgers actually do? So what the Dodgers actually did is that they brought them out 1 hour before game time. If you've been to a baseball game, how many people are there an hour in advance? Hardly anybody. Some people who show up early, they want to watch the team get batting practice and things, or just show up early, get something to eat and chill. But the stadium is still filling as the game is going on, all right? Same as filling as the game is going on. So you get there an hour in advance. The place is empty. That's when they gave the special celebration. If we're going to talk about dozens, talk about the dozens that were there when they gave the presentation. And obviously, the Dodgers backed away from making a big deal of it, you know, right before the game started when the stadium was packed. Very interesting. And here's what's especially interesting to me. I've been talking about this. The whole show last Monday, I talked about this a lot, is that things are shifting. Things are shifting. I'm just, I've got an article I'm just finishing now with headline after headline after headline after headline after headline after headline talking about the shift in the society. I'm talking about publications like USA Today, not talking about a Christian website or a conservative website. I'm talking about publications that otherwise are left-leaning. And one after another reporting tide turning. Many using the word pushback, pushback, pushback. So you have baseball players who over the years didn't speak up. They don't like the whole Pride Night thing, but whatever. They didn't speak up. Now, last year, five pitchers with Tampa Ray in the Tampa Ray baseball team in Florida, which is now, I believe, number one team in baseball in terms of record. Five of their pitchers last year said, hey, we're not participating in Pride Night. And I understand that there have been some shifts in policy since then. But otherwise, most players kind of go along with it. But this one too far. So you've got L.A. Dodgers players and other players saying, hey, no, this is wrong. This is wrong. So be encouraged, friends. The radical left continues to overplay its hand and go way, way, way too far, because of which many more people are speaking up. Many more people are saying enough is enough. Many more people are pushing back. Here's the key thing. Let it be led by the people of God. Not by politics, and not by people full of hate. And one thing you're always going to see, you have a Fred Phelps, Westboro Baptist, right? The late Fred Phelps, and rejoicing when there's tsunami, terrible, terrible, devastating event. How many years back was this? This is what, over 15 years ago. Absolutely devastating event. Hundreds of thousands of people killed, and they're rejoicing. Because it killed all the FAGSs, and you had all these people in Thailand that were sexually perverted and coming from around the world for that, and they're pedophiles, and they all died, and or rejoicing. They'll rejoice when a corpse, one of our precious American soldiers, is sent back from overseas, and they'd go to the funerals and protest and saying, well, it's an FAG army, and they deserve to die and things like that, and they'd be famous for their God hates FAGSs and, you know, hold these signs up and things like that. So that's the face that the media wants you to see. That's the face that's going to be pushed forward. We have to say, it's not about hating people. It's not about despising people. It's not about looking down at people. It's simply saying we don't celebrate this. We don't celebrate men marrying men. We don't celebrate 13-year-old girls having their breasts removed because they believe they're boys. We don't celebrate that. We don't celebrate drag queens mocking the gospel. We don't celebrate these things. And we believe that for human thriving, for the best of society, that God's ways are best. That God's ways are ways of life. That God's ways are good. And that's what we want to live out. And what Nancy Pierce was saying last week, and said there's massive data to support this, that homes with solid fathers who are living out their biblical values have the greatest overall health within the family in terms of marital health, in terms of the overall emotional health and stability of the children. But it would make sense because God's ways work. Look, As we've talked about my own diet transformation by God's grace. So Nancy and I were talking about, it's amazing how the human body can function with so much junk. Like if you put sludge in your car, at a certain point it would stop working. If you put sludge in instead of oil, if you put sludge in instead of gas, at a certain point it would stop working. Yet we put a lot of sludge in our bodies, foods with very, very low nutritional levels and very, very bad levels of stuff that's harmful and destructive. And it's amazing how long the body can function, decades. Yeah, there are always results, but it's amazing how long it can function, how marvelously God made the human body. But ultimately, you put healthy things in, you get good results. You put unhealthy things in, you get bad results. One doctor was saying to me, it's this simple. He says, God made it, it's good. Man made it, it's not good. You know, so unprocessed foods, not that everything in nature is edible. We understand there's poisonous plants and so on. But that generally speaking, if you're eating something that's unprocessed, it's healthier. And then you're eating something that's processed and we're adding all this stuff to it, it ends up being unhealthy. All right? The same way. Think of this for a minute. Consider this. You're growing up, you're a young lady, right? And you keep yourself sexually pure. You get married to a man who's also kept himself sexually pure, right? And you have a beautiful relationship emotionally and physically as well. You have a healthy physical relationship. You'll never get a sexually transmitted disease. I'm not talking about blood transfusion, something like that. I'm talking about if you are faithful to each other as husband and wife and sexually active through your marriage, you won't get a sexually transmitted disease. It won't happen. However, if one of you is unfaithful and does the exact same thing that you're doing with your spouse physically, you do that exact same thing with someone you're not married to, you might get an STD. Where did it come from? How did it happen? Committing the same act with someone else gets you an STD. Now, there are different theories. One is that people who are sexually active with others, their immune system will break down. There's more potential of getting diseases one from another and things like that because you're interacting intimately with more and more and more people and ultimately breaking down of immune system or getting other diseases for these other reasons now opens the door for a sexually transmitted disease. That's one theory. Another is that you're crossing over into a forbidden realm. And that there is every kind of unclean thing that has taken place among people in that realm, all right? Including things involving animals and people, if you get the drift. And that this has introduced certain diseases. And when you cross into that realm, even just one time with one person, it could open you up to that. The fact is, God's ways are good. God's ways are the ways of human thriving. That's what we advocate, and it's for the best of everybody, ultimately.
I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health, and I want to take this opportunity to talk to you about the importance of healthy blood flow and how it's enhanced by a miracle molecule known as nitric oxide. You see, blood vessels release nitric oxide, which increases blood flow known as something called vasodilation. At Trivita, we take blood flow seriously for our members, and we've developed a nitric oxide plus supplement that has been formulated with natural ingredients designed to maximize nitric oxide production in our blood vessels, which increases blood flow. You may be wondering why you don't have as much energy as you used to. One study that I came across revealed that by the age of 40, we only produce about 50% of the nitric oxide production as compared to our 20s. And by the age of 70, the study showed that we're only producing about 15 to 25%. I have good news. As we age, there's another way for our body to increase nitric oxide production, and that's by converting nitrates in vegetables like beetroot into nitric oxide. Bottom line, with more nitric oxide, we stimulate more blood flow to our vital organs and we experience more energy while supporting healthy blood pressure. Trivita's Nitric Oxide Plus has been formulated to increase nitric oxide production and blood flow at every age.
To place your order for products to support your wellness goals, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at Trivita.com. As a Trivita introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 and receive a 25% discount on the products of your choice. Call 1-800-771-5584. 800-771-5584. May you live with greater wellness.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire broadcast. I just got an email during the break, and it's telling you what I'm going to be doing tomorrow night. Well, the email is not about me, but it says celebrate Juneteenth by going to see Between Mercy and Me. So this is going to be tomorrow night only, June 20th, in 750 theaters. So go to betweenmercyandme.com online to see where there is a theater near you where this is going to show. It's a great musical drama about a black man and a white woman, both of them worship leaders, living in the midst of a bit of a tense scene in their own communities because of racial tension and challenges. And it's real, it's raw, it's beautiful, it's powerful, and I play a bit role in it. Yeah, I but actually my role, even though I've only got a couple little places in the actual movie, which was an honor to do it. I appreciate Craig Brown coming up with the idea and saying, hey, Dr. Brown, we got a role for you to play. In fact, Saturday night was the red carpet opening in Cincinnati. If it had been closer, I would have gone. But with Father's Day weekend and things and just a rare weekend at home to chill, I stayed back. Plus, I just got a bit role anyway. But my character plays an important role through the movie, even though I'm in the background. But anyway, I encourage you to go see it. I think you'll really be blessed by the music. It won awards for best music in a Christian production, won some other awards as well. So I think you'll really enjoy the music. I think 20 new songs. That's one reason I want to go see it. Craig said it's going to be great hearing the music in the theater. And we'll bring some friends with us. But if you're able to see it tomorrow night, and I don't know how it's going to be accessible afterwards, I think it would be great for churches to play it. It's a great conversation starter and gives insight from different perspectives. And anyway, I encourage you to go see it if you are able to. That'll be June 20th, Tuesday night. So tomorrow night, if you are listening to us live. Okay. You want to hear something outrageous from Canada? I mean, really, really outrageous from Canada. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, here we go. Let me grab this story. Mass Resistance reported this. Unbelievable. Canadian government appeals pro-family activist Bill Watcott's not guilty verdict for, quote, inciting hatred. The trial is this week in Toronto. Unlike the U.S., in Canada, a person can be tried twice for the same crime. Obsession with crushing all anti-LGB dissent, but Bill still has his outstanding lawyer representing him. All right, so let me give you background here, all right? How long ago? 2016, 7 years ago. It's the Toronto Gay Pride Parade. And more people are saying, you know, there's some really ugly stuff that happens in these parades. Maybe not the one in your community, but in some cases, complete nudity, in some cases, simulated sex acts. And what gets everybody upset is like, you got little children there. And often the parents just with their kids. One of my friends, street preacher, has video of some vile act taking place, and the little kid looks away, and the mother turns the kid's head to look. This is stuff that is really, really grievous. And I remember reading an article, I believe by a lesbian journalist in the Washington Post, an op-ed piece a few years back saying that, or it may have been a couple of folks that wrote it, saying, no, this is good. This, let the kink come out. Let it be seen. Let these elements be seen. This is all part of LGBT pride and should be celebrated. So we're not talking about the couple next door to you, gay couple next door to you that lives their life like everybody else, goes to work, that's raising a kid they adopted, that is involved in the community, and aside from the fact that it's two men or two women versus a heterosexual couple, very much like your other friends, neighbors in the community. We're not talking about that being so much on display, although obviously we say that's contrary to God's order and plan, but we're talking about blatant, ugly, vile stuff that in no way should be in public, let alone in the presence of children, let alone celebrate it. So, article states, It was one of the foulest imaginable. It included blasphemous anti-Christian imagery, groups of completely naked men marching in front of young children, and much more. Prominent parade marches included Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, the Premier of Ottawa, and the Attorney General of Canada. And there are pictures here. We can't show you the pictures because they're that graphic. Even the pictures on the website are blotted out, but even there, it's too ugly to show. And there's one group called Gay Zombies Cannabis Consumers Association. So Bill Watcott and several friends registered to march in the parade under the name Gay Zombies Cannabis Consumers Association. They dressed in head-to-toe green bodysuits. So they were just being whatever. However you want to describe it, they're just saying, we're going to get in there and be a satire group. Okay. As they marched, they handed out 3,000, quote, safe sex packets to onlookers. Inside each packet was a folded two-sided flyer that included medical-related information, graphic images of the medical consequences of homosexual behavior. Again, God's ways are best for human thriving. We go away from those ways, it opens the door for wrong things to happen. Just, it's natural sowing and reaping, right? Just like when I was eating peanut M&Ms every day and pizza and other stuff like that every day, it was having negative effects on my body. God didn't have to judge me for my unhealthy eating. Just a matter of this unhealthy stuff I was putting in my body is going to have an unhealthy impact. So when there's a violation of God's order, in terms of sexual order and intimacy, it has, over time, in various ways, negative consequences. So there were graphic images of medical consequences of homosexual behavior and positive religious messages. It also denounced the prominent political figures for their public pro-homosexual activism. If Bill and his friends had done this in any U.S. gay pride parade, they would just be banned from future parades and the officials would complain to the media. But this was Canada. So there's a lawsuit was filed against Bill Watcott. This is our neighbor to the north, Canada, all right? $104 million lawsuit. The activists that launched this suit, they did it in the National Canadian Parliament in Ottawa, similar to the White House press room in the U.S. They announced they'd filed a $104 million civil lawsuit charging Watcott and his supporters with, quote, defamation, conspiracy, and intentional infliction of mental suffering. All right, now just think of all the stuff that's circulated in thousands of different settings in America, where there could be flyers, there could be information, whatever, that you find insulting, that you find negative, that you find wrong, that whatever. It's freedom of speech, freedom of press, and there it is. I mean, there's endless stuff. Maybe one of these days I'll show you some of the hate mail we get and comments just to give an idea of what comes our way in the front lines. That's a complaint. It's a joy and honor to suffer reproach for the gospel. It's part of what God's called me to do. And I wear those arrows like someone wears a pretty shirt. I mean, it's great with me. It's for the gospel. I just pray for the people and feel bad for them. But so what? But they said ugly things about you. They said ugly things about Jews. They said, yeah, it's not illegal to do it. It's not illegal to say it, right? You know, in this case, what they're calling out is people who are supporting this nonsense. In this case, what they're doing is giving medical information, useful, helpful medical information that could save lives, and gospel messages. So the purpose of the $104 million claim, they said, was to, quote, smoke out and extract monetary damages from the wealthy financial backers of Bill and his group. They said that Bill was being bankrolled by a cabal of big right-wing donors, because that's how the left does things. But in fact, the, quote, gay zombies accomplished their mission on a shoestring budget funded by the participants themselves. Bill freely admitted his role, but refused to name the others who are unknown to this day. The fact is, I would get emails from friends of Bill saying, could you help with legal fees? There's no money. He had no money behind this whatsoever. Where in the world are they going to extract all this money, because there's no money behind it? So anyway, the case drags on. 2019, after 3 years of effort, the gay activists drop the lawsuit. But as the lawsuit was dying, the Ontario government decided to jump into the fight. In June 2018, 2 years after the parade incident, the Ottawa Attorney General formally charged Bill with the crime of, quote, inciting hatred. Then the Attorney General issued a nationwide arrest warrant for Bill, who is living in Alberta, Canada. I mean, this is just absolutely unreal for doing exactly what we described he was doing. He was held in custody for 4 days while being transported to Toronto. Calgary police denied him food and his blood pressure medicine for 24 hours. He was denied sleep for 24 hours. This is absolutely crazy. Thankfully, Bill is able to fight back with a top defense attorney, John Rosen. I was in some interaction with him a couple years ago, finding out more about the case. October 4th, 2021, Bill's 8-day trial for willful promotion of hatred finally started. Rosen declined a jury trial, on and on. Bottom line is, he's pronounced not guilty. After all this, I mean, it's taken me a while to read all that, but think of living through this for years, 7 years over all this ordeal. He's pronounced not guilty, and the government has appealed the decision, and they're going to be starting a case this week. Can you imagine that? After all this junk, after all these false exaggerations, these exaggerated charges, the things that would not stick for 30 seconds in America, even with all the radical left activism in our country, he's pronounced not guilty after all that, and the government appealed the decision. So let's pray for righteousness. Let's pray for God's blessing on Bill Walcott and his team, the attorney John Rosen. And let's pray for an awakening in Canada, an awakening in Canada, a spiritual outpouring on the church that will bring awakening to the nation. We'll be shifting subjects radically the rest of the week. Be with us tomorrow. You can't resist us.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.